is indeed a privilege to be asked to present the word. And as I think of the two wonderful renditions and song we had today, I'm confident that the Holy Spirit has been preparing our hearts for our message. This week has been a week of real victory here at Andrews in terms of the focus that we have had. We wanted to focus the mind of the church on the second advent and the reality, because when the Bible tells us that Jesus will come back, it's more real than even you are seeing my standing here. And it is this reality which we desire to make happen in Andrews one of these days by God's grace. We'd like to thank the church for the support that you have given us during this past week. You have come out in your numbers even on nights when it looked as if the attendance would be low. We were there by God's grace. As a matter of fact, I must take the time to thank you for supporting the Sunday and Wednesday night meetings in general. We have had some really good support. As a matter of fact, on more than one occasion on a Wednesday evening, we have had more than 100 people here. Come on, church. And on a Wednesday, on a Sunday evening, we are bordering on 50, and we peaked in the 60s, but we want to make it to 100. When I used to play cricket, church, we always wanted to make 100. So when you make 100, you want to make what? 200. So we want to come up to the 100 mark in the Sunday night and then get over to the 150 and the 200. Remember we said we were going to have at least half of the church. One side, look at one side, from balcony to downstairs. Half of us should be here on a Sunday and half on Wednesday, and we overflow the church on Sabbath. What do you say? Thanks for the wonderful song of meditation and the introduction. As I invite us to pray. Eternal Father and our King, we have come to hear a word from you today. Nothing in our hands we bring, simply to your cross we cling. This message that has been decided for us to speak upon, we know, Lord, that looking for the second advent, there is this undercurrent in the minds of some of our people that it is not as easy to be saved as some people have us think. Many over the years have approached me asking whether or not it is easier to be saved than to be lost. And so, Father, wherever there's doubt in our minds today, we ask that this message will, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, obliterate all doubt and fill our hearts with hope and faith and courage in the knowledge that Jesus said it is possible, and indeed it is so. So open our hearts and our minds today, sweet Holy Spirit. Go among the pews and touch our hearts in a distinctive way. And at the end of our service, may the reality of your second advent be tasting in our mouths. We pray with thanksgiving in Jesus' name. The central theme on which the Andrews Estate Church is focused for the foreseeable future is the second advent of Jesus. It is the intention of the church leadership to assist the congregation to taste, to breathe, to live, and to share this reality. What do you say, church? We want to taste it. We want to breathe it. We want to live it. And we want to, what, church? Share it. Every member of Andrews must be saved. Every member of Andrews must be saved. And I would like you to say this with me now. By the grace of God, I shall be saved. The grace of God, I shall be saved. What do you say? Amen. We want to go to heaven on that first day in heaven, and we are able to call our Andrew's members and say, Lord, look at this flock, this beautiful flock that you have given to us at Andrew's. Here they are. Come on, church. This is what we want. We want Andrew's to be there. But the Christian walk with Jesus is viewed by many as a life of restrictions. Don't do this. You can't do that. Bondage. You can't go there. You can't wear that. You can't speak like that. It seems as if the Christian life is a life of bondage and restrictions. I'm here to tell you today, there is no bondage in Jesus. Rather, it is a life of freedom. John chapter 8 verse 36 says, if the Son therefore shall make you free, what church? Ye shall be free indeed. God wants us to realize that there's freedom in service, freedom in serving Him. When I choose to follow Jesus, I do not set out to do the minimum to please Him. Rather, I must intend to do the maximum to please Him. Christianity is not about the little bit that I can do for Jesus. Christianity is about giving Jesus my all. And that's why the songwriter said, all to Jesus I surrender, all to Him I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him. Finish it, church. In His presence, daily live. My every thought, and I'm not taken into a world of utopia. It is the reality which must become the reality. My every thought, my every word, my every deed must be focused on pleasing God. And I'm going to stop until you really... My every what, church? My every thought, word, deed must be on doing what? Pleasing God. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 10, the Bible says, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto how much pleasing? Let us go. That ye may walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in some every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Is this possible? Yes. I must want to walk to please God every moment of every day. Self must be set aside. I must not look at me. I must look at Jesus, and that's why the song was chosen this morning. Look up on Jesus. Sinless is He. Father, impute His life unto me. My life of scarlet, my sin and woe, what? Covered with His life, whiter than snow. At any point in this walk, I can choose to continue, or I can choose to make an exit. God doesn't bind me and lock me up and take away my choice. He gives me my choice, and I can choose every day to serve Him. And that's why the songwriter says, every day with Jesus is sweeter than the day before. This must be our experience. However, there are consequences which go with my choice or your choice. If I choose to remain in the Beloved, I will have salvation. If I allow the devil to tell me foolishness, I will be damned. Because the Bible tells us that there are really only two alternatives. Salvation or damnation. Choose to follow Jesus, salvation. Choose not to follow Jesus, damnation. What happens to us when we think about whether it is possible to be saved and how easy it is? There's a lot of confusion in our minds. We think we can't make it because we are telling ourselves we can't make it. Our thoughts are important. In fact, the concepts developed in the mind have a direct bearing on our actions. Sow a thought, reap an action. Sow an action, reap a habit. Sow a habit, reap a character. Sow a character, reap a destiny. It is as simple as that, as we think about it. You know, sometimes, friends, things are simple, but we sometimes make them complex. Satan wants us to think that salvation is a pipe dream, that it is just a pie in the sky. It is too hard. It is impossible to achieve. You can't make it. It is impossible to keep God's law. It is impossible for you to observe the Sabbath. Don't you see, if you lock up your business on Sabbath, you are going to fail, because the best business day is Sabbath. But brethren and friends, my Jesus says, come and taste and see that the Lord is good. Lots of people are believing Satan. Even professed Christians. Do not allow the devil to brainwash you. He wants us to think, to believe that he has unlimited power. He has control over the world and the people in it. That's a lie. He has no power over God's people, because the devil may be mighty, but my God is almighty. He can only use scare tactics. In the case of Eve, he used doubt. In the case of Judas, he used greed. In the case of King Saul, he used arrogance and pride. And in Absalom's case, he used the lust for power. He uses all kinds of things to make me become separated from God, in doubting God, in fearing that, will I be able to make it? Let us put this thing into its proper perspective. Chapter 13. The Bible tells us in verses 12 to 15, hope deferred maketh the heart sick, but when the desire cometh, it is a tree of life. Whoso despiseth the word shall be destroyed, but he that feareth the commandment shall be rewarded. The law of the wise is as a fountain of what? Church life. To depart from what? The snares of death. Good understanding giveth favor. But what, church? The way of the transgressor is hard. Does it say the way of the Christian is hard? The Bible clearly tells me that it is the way of the transgressor that is hard. And that's why when Jesus met Saul going down to Damascus Road, going to persecute and to kill his people, Jesus said to him, Saul, it is what? Hard for you to kick against the pricks. When we start to think in this positive sense, we will realize that it is easier to be saved than to be lost. We want to go to heaven. We must determine that by God's grace I'm going to make it. But I must recognize that I must believe it and live it. Yes. When the devil brings up your past, I want you to remind him of his future. When the devil brings up your past, what are you going to do, church? Remind him of his future. Because the Bible tells me that he will cause the whole host of the unsaved to surround God's city. But the Bible says fire will come down from heaven and destroy him. In the book of Ezekiel, God tells me that he's going to cause a fire to come from the midst of Satan and destroy him. Satan only has mouth. But my God has action. We need to get in line with God's thinking. Where Jesus lives and reigns, Satan trembles and runs for cover. Brethren and friends, in Mark chapter 1, The Bible said Jesus came to Capernaum that day, and he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath, and there was a man there with an unclean spirit, a demoniac, and this demoniac came to Jesus and said to him, Jesus, what have we to do with you? We know who you are. You are the Son of God. Have you come to destroy us? Those demons recognized that there was power in Jesus' presence, that they didn't stand a chance. And when Jesus says, get out. Come on, our church. When Jesus said what? Get out. Did the demon say, is who you're talking to? The demon take foot and run. When Jesus was assailed by Satan, and Satan tempted Jesus, all of a sudden Jesus said, get thee behind me, Satan. And the Bible says, the devil left. You're not saying amen, church? The devil left. God has power over demons. Let's explore the process necessary to live a successful Christian life, a walk with Jesus. First of all, I need a change of mind. Romans chapter 8. We're going to use a whole lot of verses today. Virgin and friends, I have a principle that when I preach, I can't express God's will any clearer than the Bible. So that's why I always read a lot of Bible verses in order for us to recognize that we can depend on God's word. I need a change of mind. Romans 8 verses 6 to 8. The Bible tells me, for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and truth. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. I must accept that I have a carnal mind prone to sin, but I know that there's a spiritual mind which God will give to me, and Jesus, I want it. I want the spiritual mind. I want to be rid of this carnal mind. I must acknowledge my condition and confess. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Listen to the word, cleanse me. Jesus is not only willing to forgive me, Jesus wants to cleanse me so that the carnal mind is killed and the spiritual mind is born. Romans 12:1-2, the Bible says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies, what, church? A living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to the things of this world, but be transformed by what, church? The renewing of your mind, that ye may prove that which is good and acceptable and what? When God speaks, church, we need to understand that God cannot change his word. And when he says that when I have this transformation, something is going to happen. When I have come through this matter of having this mind being transformed, in order to live the real Christian successful life, I must learn to hate sin. Why should I learn to hate sin? Why would I want to hate sin? Isaiah 59:1-2 tells us that the hand of the Lord is not short that it cannot save, neither is his ear heavy that he can't hear. But it is our sins that are separating us from God. That is why I need to hate sin. Because sin separates me from God, and the wages of sin is death. And the Bible tells me, God says, I am your life. That's why I must hate sin, because sin separates me from God and sin causes me to die the eternal death. Should I not have made it right with God? Therefore, I must hate sin. No one would want to just drink poison unless you want to kill yourself. But you know that you don't want to countenance poison in the house. Sin is poison. Sin kills. Sin separates me from God. That's why I must hate sin. Job 1 tells us that Job chapter 1 verse 1, that there was a man in the land of Uz who was upright and perfect, and he eschewed evil. That means that he hated evil, or he abstained from evil. As a matter of fact, when the devil caused Job to get into all kinds of trials and tribulations, and he went back up to heaven the second time, and God asked him a question, and he said, "But you are the one, you caused me to allow you to do things to my servant Job without cause. Have you considered him? Job escheweth evil." Can it be said of us today that I hate evil? When we look at this fact, we need to come to the place where we realize that hating sin is godly. I'm saying a lot of heavy things today in our church. Hating sin is what? Godly. And you want a transformed mind, you want to be thinking like God, so we must learn to hate sin. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 22, the Bible says, "Abstain from all appearance of evil." The Christian walk is not as hard as you think. It is easy. 2 Thessalonians 3 and verse 3, the Bible puts it this way: "Let no man deceive you by any means." Well, I may have mixed it up. Every time I have a second and a first, I always mix it up. I don't know why I mix it up. Let me find it, because it is a very important verse. I know what I did with it. 2 Thessalonians 3 verse 3. All right. Let me find it. 2 Thessalonians 3. I always mix them up. Sorry, church. Oh, 3 verse 3. "But the Lord is faithful, who shall what? Establish you and keep you," what, church? "From evil." Come on, church. These are promises which God has made. He says, "I will establish it." Meaning what? I will put down a foundation. I will build it. I will make sure, reinforce it with all kinds of concrete and steel, because I am going to establish you, and I am going to make sure that evil and you are not. The next thing, church, if we're going to be saved in this fashion, we need to submit ourselves to God. James chapter 4 verse 7, "Submit yourselves to God. Resist the devil and he will," what, church? You see, church, Christianity is an active thing. Flee from you. Imagine that. Flee from you. Who is the devil going to flee from? You're not sure. "Submit therefore yourselves to God. Resist the devil," because I am not allowing him to cause me to do that which is wrong. I'm resisting him, and he will, what, church? Flee. Why? Because when I submit myself to God, God is coming nearby me. And we said earlier that when the devil see Jesus, what does he do? He take foot and run. All time people would say him gander. Virgin and friends, this is what Christianity is about. When we realize the experience that God has in store for me, I must be saved. Can't be lost. Having submitted ourselves to God in this fashion, there is no feeling of fear. There is no feeling of condemnation. Why? Because I am drawing myself, being drawn closer to God. Closer to God. Romans 8. The Bible tells us in Romans 8 verse 1 downward, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus," who do what? Walk after. Oh, who do not walk after the flesh, but after the Spirit. The Bible wants us to understand that there is no condemnation. Virgin and friends, verse 4 says that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. We said earlier that every thought, every word, every deed must be intended to do what, church? Please God. So we're not walking after anything else, but walking towards Jesus. When we have come to this place, Romans 5, verse 1, 9, and 10, the Bible tells us these words. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have what, church? Peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 9. Much more then, being now justified by what? His blood, we shall what, church? Be saved from the wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more being reconciled, read it with our church, we shall be saved, Lord have mercy. Change the we, come now. I shall be saved by his life. God is not giving us any pipe dream. God is giving us the formula for success. And as we come closer to God, self is no longer the center. Self is being surrendered. Self is dying. The closer we come to Jesus, the more we realize that I am nothing. It is this name brand that we have, name Noel Jump, that people must know who I am. We need to get that out of the way. Whether I am doctor this or nurse that or lawyer this, whoever we are, the Bible says we are coming to the foot of the cross, and the foot of the cross is level. We need to put our side, our titles and our this and our that, and say, all to Jesus I surrender. I am thine, O Lord. I have heard thy voice as they spoke thy words to me, but I long to rise in the arms of faith and be closer drawn to thee. Amen. That's what the Christian experience is about. None of self, all of Jesus. None of self, all of Jesus. In this process, God is slowly doing something new. The Holy Spirit will come in because we are giving him room. You know, brethren and friends, we give the Holy Spirit room. Listen to what John chapter 14, 16 and 17 says. Jesus was about to leave shortly, and he said, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may, we'll do a church, abide in you for how long? Forever. And listen to what next he says. Even the Spirit of what? Truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But we know him, for he dwelleth in me and shall be in me. I know him because he dwells in me, and he's going to remain in me for how long, church? Forever. Brethren and friends, I have to put you on guard. When we submit ourselves like this, and the devil realizes that we're serious about giving God our all, there is a thing called open war that the devil has declared upon you. And most of us, if not all of us in this church, can testify. I'm going to tell you this point blank today. The worst things that have happened to me in my life has happened since I was baptized here. Some things that have happened to me are beyond. Oh, brethren and friends, what Sister Jump and I have determined to do, that by God's grace, the hotter the bottle, the sweeter the victory. Virgin and friends, when he comes and he comes and he comes and we can't deal with him, there is a place of quiet rest in our home, in our worship room, near to the heart of God. A place. We go into our worship room and we kneel and we pray and we ask God to give us the next ounce. Because we know that it is our salvation that is at stake. The devil wants to kill us and to rid us of the thing called salvation. But by God's grace, we're going to make it. We are going to make it. All during the process, Bridget and friends, he comes with all kinds of foolishness. Romans chapter 7, verse 19 explains some of the difficulties which face us. The Bible says, "For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would." The devil wants to get back the mind. He wants to control the mind. Virgin and friends, there's a sermon I want to preach one day. It is entitled "The Assault on the Mind." Virgin and friends, he wants to control that mind. He wants you and I to feel that we can't make it because the good that we wanted to do, we did the opposite. But the Bible says, where sin doth abound, grace doth much more abound. If him lick you down, virgin and friends, don't lie down in the dirt and roll. Get up and brush off yourself and run to Jesus. Run to Jesus. Say, "Lord, have mercy upon me, a sinner." Remember, church, another side to this thing. The verse says, "For the good that I would not, I don't do it." But I want to remind you that temptation is not sin. And I'm going to repeat it, and I want you to drink it. Temptation is not sin. Yielding is sin. Was Jesus tempted? Yes. Was Jesus tempted? Yes. So temptation can be overcome. War. God provides the power to overcome every temptation. Preacher, what are you talking about? What are you telling me? 1 Corinthians, come turn to me, church. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13. This is a fantastic verse. The Bible says, "There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man." Read now, church. "But God is what? Faithful." Read that again. "God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that we are able." But, positive but, come on, church, but with what? "With the temptation also make a way of escape that you will be able to bear it." Come on, church, praise God, praise God, praise God. He has opened the door. When I am tempted, I should say, "Lord, my prayer must be, please, Lord, show me the way of escape and give me the courage to take it." See, virgin and friends, every single trial you can overcome. The only thing that beats a failure is a what? And the only thing that beats a trial is a failure. So, brethren and friends, put aside the negative part, the failure part, and say, "Lord, you told me in your word that I would not be tempted more than I can bear." And with each temptation, every temptation, you have provided what, church? A way of escape. Is it easier to be saved than to be lost? Brethren and friends, constantly, God will provide, the Holy Spirit will provide ways for you. Give me the way to escape. Show me the way, Lord. The Holy Spirit provides guidance. The Holy Spirit provides overcoming power. Consistently. Without any gap. Without any break, without, brethren and friends, it never stops. He gives me guidance. Isaiah 30 proves this. Isaiah 30 verse 21. The Bible says, "And thine ear shall hear of word behind thee, saying," read the church, "this is the way, walk ye in it. When ye turn to the right and when you turn to the left, Lord have mercy. God is saying, the Holy Spirit actually is going to tell me. The reason we are defeated is because we don't allow the Holy Spirit to tell us. And when the Holy Spirit tells us, we say, later. I am satisfied and confident that the walk that I am walking with Jesus is a walk to success. Constantly in my ear and my response. When the Holy Spirit talks to me, Psalm 57 tells you what your response should be. Psalm 57, go faster, Joe. Psalm 57, verse 7, the Bible says, my heart is fixed. When the Lord, the Holy Spirit is talking to me and said, this is the way I walk in it. What is my response, church? My heart is fixed, oh God. My heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise. I will praise thee, O Lord, among the people. I will sing unto thee among the nations. For thy mercy is great unto the heavens, and thy truth unto the clouds. Be thou exalted, O my God. And I am going to say, and I'm going to pray when I'm going to. That's why the Bible says, what? Pray without ceasing. I am going to be in communion with God. I am singing and I constantly sing. My heart is fixed. And then I will, when I'm given the victory, I say, oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good and his mercy endureth for how long, church? Forever. We are talking about successful Christian living. If God can't give me the power, he's not God. And I know he is God, so he's going to give me the power. And friends, when we keep a song in our heart, what the Pathfinder pledge church said, church, keep a song in your heart. And when the devil is fooling around with me and the Holy Spirit is showing me where to go, I say, a mighty fortress is my God, a bulwark never failing. He has never lost a battle yet, and I can keep singing. When I walk with the Lord in the light of his word, what a glory he sheds on our way. While we do his good will, he abides with us still. And finish no church. And in all who would trust and obey, there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Victory in Jesus. Our actions are affected positively when we do this. When we do God's will, our actions are affected positively. And that's why the psalmist puts it this way in Psalm chapter 1, verses 1 to 3. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate, what, church? Day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth its fruit in his season. His leaves shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth, church, shall prosper. When we serve God, God takes care of you. Be not dismayed. Whatever betide, God will take care of you. I want you to know, church, Psalm 40 verse 3, I delight to do thy will, O my Lord. Yea, thy law is within my heart. Jesus came and Jesus used these words in John chapter 6, verses 40, verses 38 and 40. Jesus said, I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. I must want to do God's will. I must desire to do God's will. I must delight. You know, as I use that word delight, church, in a marriage, there are some things that Sister John Bluff and Virgin and friends sometimes are just surprise her and do it. And when you see the Lord have mercy, when you see the face, every teeth, virgin and friends, God says, when you please me, when you delight to do my will, you cause me to laugh, you bring joy to my heart. Ferdinand, friends, verse 40 of the same chapter says, "And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day." So even if we die, don't worry, because no grave cannot hold our bodies down when my God says, "Come." Look at the benefits that will flow. 1 John 3:22 says, "And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do those things which are pleasing in his sight." Time is of the essence, and I'm going to rush to finish. By this constant cooperation with God, moment by moment, minute by minute, hour by hour, day by day, month by month, year by year, a lifetime, we are uniting our will with the will of God. I want to tell you something, church. When this carnival foolishness came to Jamaica first, the church was not like this yet. We had the back. We had some rooms at the back with windows. And I remember the Sabbath when they were passing with their float. Many members of this church went into the back room to look at what they were doing. Nonsense. I don't want to know what they are doing. It's not my business. I come to worship God. I'm saying this to say, the next year, we made a plan. We said, all right, when the Kwa Carnival is passing, a lot of those who are enjoying the carnival come and stand up by our fence watching. We went out there and were trying to give them tracks. They did not want it. They don't want to hear anything about no tracks. They don't want to hear about God. They are carnivalizing. Why should we desire to do anything but to please God? Come on, church. Every moment, every minute of our lives, pleasing God, worshiping God, being able to be united with God. I want to tell you, if you're not loving that kind of experience down here, how are you going to love it up there? And you plan to go up there. When we look at what happens when God's will is united with man's will. 2 Kings, and I'm going to read it. 2 Kings 2, 23 and 24. Elijah had been taken up, chariot of fire. Elisha was now the prophet. Elisha was going to Bethel one day, and while he was on the way, he was passing a village, and some children came out, and the children looked at Elisha and said, "Go up, you bald head." The Bible says Elisha turned back and looked at them and cursed them. Elijah's curse was a curse that God was in agreement with. The Bible says two she-bears came out of the wood and killed 42 of the children. When you unite your will with God, you don't know what power is available. We are not looking enough at God. Another person who united his will with God, the Bible says in Genesis chapter 5, verse 24, and Enoch walked with God, and God took him. Come on, church. He was not, because God took him. Do you see what happens when you unite your will with God? The hand of omnipotence is moved. And we wonder whether we can be saved. Brethren and friends, it is possible. It is easier to be saved than to be lost. This uniting of your will, my will with God, results in God taking over my life. Can you see that? You get in so close to God that God take over your life. You want God to take over your life, church? Can it become the reality? Yes. God takes over my life. And Philippians 1 verse 6 says, he that hath begun a good work in you will see to the day of completion. 1 Corinthians 15 verse 7 says, thanks be to God who gives me the victory. Victory. You know, brethren and friends, when we unite our lives and our wills to God, the ministry of angels in a greater and to a greater degree is evident in your life. Psalm chapter 34 verse 7, the Bible says, the angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them. Remember Jacob and Daniel and Peter. Daniel was in prison, and the Bible says the Lord sent his angels and shut the lion's mouth. Peter was in prison, and an angel came, and all the jailbird things drop off him. And when, as a matter of fact, when Peter and the angel were going outside, we walked down to Megamart, and you see, the door just fly open, brethren and friends. God was using that technology long time, because when Peter and the angels came to the gate, the gate just whoo. We believe that we are postmodern and we are so smart, but the things that God does, look at us and laugh. It took us hundreds, thousands of years to start that sort of technology, God said. I know, brethren and friends, as you're on it. You know, brethren, I was looking at my daughter on Skype the other day, talking to our friend in Japan, and we believe that God can't see what we do. If you can put up Skype and you can talk to your friend, God has multiple ways of Skyping. The power of God is being underrated. Jesus' victory over Satan is my victory. Jesus beat him in heaven. Kick him out. And then Satan look at Jesus and say, if you think you're bad, come down here. Jesus came down here. Jesus beat him in the wilderness. Jesus beat him in Gethsemane. Jesus beat him at Pilate judgment hall. Jesus beat him on the cross. Jesus went to sleep. And Sunday morning, Jesus got up and said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And he that liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Come on, church. God is good. God is good. Ministry of angels. God is omnipresent. God is everywhere. And brethren and friends, Hebrews 13 verse 5 says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And you're telling me salvation is harder than damnation, brethren and friends. God is omniscient. God knows everything. Omnipresent, children, God is everywhere. Omniscient, God knows everything. The Bible tells me, what was Jesus' prayer? Jesus says, and lead us not into temptation. Virgin and friends, when you read the Bible, you must realize that the Bible is tonic. Jesus prayed, our Father which art in heaven, and lead us not into temptation, but what? But deliver us from evil. For thine is, brethren and friends, let me tell another story. There was a king in Syria by the name of Ben-Hadad. He was having a difficulty with the king of Israel, and he decided that he was gonna make war. And he set all kinds of ambushments. But he didn't know that there was a man in Israel called Elisha. And every time that he set the ambush for the king of Israel and his army, Elisha sent a message and said, don't go to halfway tree, go to crossroads. What did the Bible say in Isaiah chapter 30? And you shall hear a voice. Come on, church. This is the way. Walk ye in it. So the Syrians were plotting evil. And Jesus says, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. So the king got up one day and said, I have a lot of spies in this place. I don't know what is happening. Story is found in 2 Kings 6. The men said, no, we all love you, king. We are loyal to you. But there is a man in Israel named Elisha. He knows even the things you speak in your bedchamber. Come on. Lord have mercy. God knows everything. So God will tell you what to do. And he said, go and fetch him. So they set up this thing around Dothan to capture Elisha. And they thought they had him pat. But you know the rest of the story, church. God delivered Elisha and his servant from. As a matter of fact, when you look at that story, God was leading his people away from evil. Is the same God? Is it the same God we are serving today? Yes. Will he take me away from evil? Yes. And there's somebody, everybody in this church that can get up and tell me, there was a time when the Spirit definitely told me to do so and so, and I never do it. And I ran into trouble. If you have a testimony, say amen.
Amen.
Yeah. Soon finish. There are three beings. We're studying it in the quarterly. There are three beings in the Godhead. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Each one is omnipotent. Each one is almighty. Jesus is almighty. Father almighty. Spirit almighty. And the three of them are my friends. Come on, church. The three of them are whose friends? My friends. And they have one intention, and it is to save me. How can I lose? Virgin and friends, I could tell you some story, but I tell you this today. The Bible, Jesus asked the question, is there anything too hard for the Lord? In this state of mind that we are now finding ourselves, Galatians 2:20 puts it this way. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. What did Jesus do, church? He loves me. He loves me. And he gave himself for me. Then when we love and give ourselves, aren't we serious? Yeah. Brethren and friends, that's why when we sing songs from the hymn that I like, come every soul by sin oppressed, there's mercy in the Lord. And the song and the chorus say, only, you know, church, only trust him. Only trust him. Only trust him now. He will save you. He will save you. He will save you now. And when I hear songs like that, and I turn to the next part of the email, and it says, have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Thou art the potter. I am the clay. And in this state of mind, I can sing, 'tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take him at his word, just to rest upon his promise, just to know, thus saith the Lord. As I close, all, repeat with me, church, all the resources of heaven are available to save mankind. I won't change one word, we'll say it over. All the resources of heaven are available to save. Who? You serious? Yes. Come, let us say it again. All the resources of heaven are available to save me. Look at the resources of heaven. God has 2/3 of the angels. Satan has 1/3. And long time when I was growing up, people, my mother used to tell me, 2 upon 1, a murder. God has every 2 for every 2, Satan have 1. And there's no angel that Satan has that is powerful than the weakest angel of God. All the resources of heaven are available to save me. But in order to be lost, I would have to reject the testimony of the lives of the patriarchs, of the matriarchs, of the prophets, Noah, Abraham, Deborah, Jochebed, Ruth, Daniel, Samson, Rahab, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Mary, the apostles, Peter, James, Paul, John. I have to put aside their testimony. And that's why Hebrews says, we are encompassed by so great a commander, church, a body of witnesses. In order to be lost, I have to ignore the ministry of angels. We have seen angels at work in our house. Seen it. We have to flee from God the Father. And when we are fleeing from God, we have to flee faster than the seraphims and the cherubims can fly. Think about it, church. You remember when Adam was trying to run away from God? He couldn't even run far enough. Jesus came and said, Adam, where art thou? When Elijah was running from Jezebel and he thought that the whole world was against him, and he heard a still small voice, what did the voice say? What doest thou here? You run, you can run, but you can't hide from God. In order to be lost, you must ignore the voices of adoration and praise and the all-seeing eyes of the four living creatures who stand before God's throne day and night. And what do they say, church? Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. I want to go to heaven and join my voice with them and say, holy, come on, church. Holy, holy, Lord God Almighty. We are going to, in order to be lost, we have to ignore the actions of the 24 elders who fall before God's throne in worship, casting down their crowns and saying, thou art worthy to receive glory and honor and power and praise. In order to be lost, I must bypass the cross. Everywhere I turn, the cross is there. I can't run anywhere and the cross is not there. I have to bypass the cross. In order to be lost, I must push Jesus one side. In order to be lost, I must grieve the Holy Spirit. I must say, Jesus, you didn't die on the cross for me. In order to be lost, in order to be lost, I have to get up to heaven. I have to take up God the Father from the mercy seat. What kind of seat is God sitting on, church? The mercy seat. I have to move him from the mercy seat. Because the Bible says, by the deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified in his sight. But by the law is the knowledge of sin. But I'm glad Romans chapter 5, 3 verse 20 says, but where sin doth abound, grace doth much more abound. In order to be lost, I must take off God off the mercy seat. And that is impossible. Because the Bible says, God passed by Moses and says, the Lord, patient and gracious and long-suffering and plenteous in mercy. Come on, church. In order to be lost, this is the God that we must put aside. Claim God's promises, church. Lean on his everlasting arms. Take him at his word. Allow him to do the saving. Say it again. Allow God to do the saving. All you must do is say, I surrender. Allow God to do the saving. You can't save yourself. You can't do anything to save yourself. Just give Jesus everything. He will do the saving. There's power. Power. Power in the blood of Jesus. Power in the blood of Jesus. Under Holy Spirit power. Under Jesus' power, under God the Father power, saving power, working power, keeping power, overcoming power, everlasting salvation is available. And that's why God says, now unto him that is able. Stand with me, church. Stand with me. Now, put it up on the screen, please. Let us read it. Jude 24. We have a God second to none. There is no God like Jehovah. There's nothing too hard for him. He will make it become the reality. Jude 24. Can't find it? All right. Jude, it says, now, give them time to find the church. Yes. Jude 24. I want us to realize that salvation, you can taste it. You can breathe it. You can live it. You can say, you can share. Read me now, church. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. To the only wise God, O Savior, be glory and majesty and power now and forevermore, forever and ever and ever. Amen.
Amen.